So, spiral paths. And not just value for money in terms of the whole of the course, but tonight you're getting three spiral paths for the price of one. Normally we talk about the spiral path, but we're going to look at spiral paths as a principle, as it were, with three expressions. And oh, can I have one of those back end? Thank you. Okay. So you should have two pieces of paper. You should have one that says three spiral paths at the top and one which has got a pretty picture on the bottom. So the pretty picture, we have, we've got the Wheel of Life, yeah? And we've talked about the Wheel of Life. I've just gone through the 12 Nidanas, the 12 links around the outside of that Wheel of Life. And then we have this spiral coming off from the gap between feeling and craving. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. And the image you've got at the top is a mandala image. It's a mandala of the five Buddhas. And that's a symbol. That's a symbol of enlightenment. You've got a handout crisis. Just two. I'll give you a blank piece of paper. And I'm thinking that maybe after we've done the next course, maybe I'll do a course on the five Buddha mandala, because the five Buddha mandala is groovy. So, many discs aren't very good at picking up wiggling eyebrows. I think we can set aside the picture for the time being, and we'll look at the sheet that's headed three spiral paths. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through. Well, you can keep the other one with you if you like. But we're going to look mostly at the first one, and then I'll just say a little bit about how that relates to the other two. So the first one is the one that one comes across most often in Buddhist texts. The spiral. It's something that's overall, particularly in early Buddhism, it tends to be overlooked a little bit. This is the emphasis is often placed on cyclic conditionality, on this sort of tendency that we have to sort of swing from, you know, we just go around in circles in a way, you know, and we swing from one pole to the other. We swing from happiness to sadness, from ecstasy to agony, from life to death, from excitement to boredom. You know, we just slosh around from pole to pole most of the times in our lives. But there's a different way of going about things. There are things that kind of are augmentative, yeah? If you put energy in, then they continue to move along in a positive way. And this is what the spiral path is about, really. So if we look at this first one, which comes from the Samyutta Nikaya, it comes from a part of the Pali Canon, one of the earliest sets of texts that have been recorded by the Theravadan tradition. So each of these three come from different parts of those traditions. And you'll find lists like these with slight variations in different places. But the way in which it's talked about is that spiritual life, the spiral path, starts with suffering. So I've talked about this before, haven't I? This is a translation of the term dukkha. It starts with unsatisfactoriness, the sense that things are unsatisfactory. And in this particular context, what it's talking about, bear in mind that it comes in this gap between feeling and craving. What it's talking about is that when we have a feeling that's painful or pleasant, then our response is usually to want to move towards that which is pleasant, Yeah? We feel desire for that which is pleasant. We feel aversion to that which we experience as painful. And this is focusing, this is pointing out the fact that both of those experiences, the experience of craving and the experience of aversion, they're both painful experiences. Yeah? Now, we overlook this quite a lot. It's perhaps easier to see with aversion. It's easy to see with ill will. That you know what people look like when they're angry, don't they? Don't you? They don't look like they're enjoying themselves, do they, on the whole? Mind you, sometimes when people are enjoying themselves, they look a bit strange as well, but we won't go there right now. It's sometimes said that feeling ill will towards another person is like picking up a burning coal in order to throw it at them. Yeah, you burn yourself, you injure yourself. You cut off your nose to spite your face, in other words. Yeah? So feeling ill will towards somebody, it's a very painful experience, actually. And yet we do it to ourselves all the time. I'd file that under nerdy. Yeah? That's a deeply nerdy thing to do, and yet I do it quite a lot, strangely enough. Cravings also a painful experience. I mean, it's obvious when it's kind of neurotic, but we live in a society where craving is rather, it's elevated to an art form in a way, isn't it? You know, it's kind of we're encouraged to crave things all the time. Our entire society is based on craving and procuring things. Sangharakshita makes a very interesting observation about craving. He says that the pleasure that we experience when we acquire something that we've wanted, yeah, that pleasure is the experience of the temporary abatement of craving. Yeah, so actually all we're experiencing is relief from craving. That's why, I've said this before, that's why retail therapy works for a very, very short time. It works. You go and you get something, and it feels nice because you stop wanting for, 20 minutes? Five if you're lucky. If it's something that you've saved up for a long time, maybe an hour and a half. And then you've got it, and you have to sort of switch your craving onto, the next ultimately satisfying consumer product. So it's painful to be brought into contact with things that we are averse to. It's painful to be separated from things that we want to have. Even when we have things that we want, we fear the loss of them. We fear, being brought into presence, into relationship with things that we don't want. So we exist in this state of discomfort. The vast proportion of the time, actually. And most of the time, we just scamper around trying to fill our minds, fill our hearts with so much experience that we don't notice this discomfort. But I'm sure you're aware that, perhaps you're aware of it yourself, and certainly sometimes it's a lot easier to see in other people than it is oneself. You notice how difficult it is to just stop, to just sit down and do now. Yeah, I'm sure you know people who just can't stop at all, actually. I'm certainly not that good at this myself. But I think that's interesting that we're so used to this level of stimulus, this so used to... it's a form of intoxication in a way. So used to, we're just... it's painful to stop and really experience ourselves. So, the next step, Kulananda, who I've said I went and studied with him earlier in the year, he gave a very, I've always been a bit bemused by how this next step works, but he summed it up in a way which I found very useful. What happens on the basis of this discomfort is that we have the desire to not experience that discomfort, yeah? We have the desire, we have this sort of faith that things could be less painful, things could be better. Yeah? And that's a natural consequence. In a way, we naturally desire things to be less painful than they are when they're painful. And so what happens is that there are two ways in which our mind can go with that. we can either just go round the wheel again, we can just go with the cyclic here. We're presented with something that we find desirable, we crave it, and we grasp after it. Yeah, we're presented with something that we find painful, we experience aversion to it, we push it away. Yeah, and we just go round the loop again. If we've got a bit more space, if we've got a bit more positivity, and if we've got a model that there could be another way, then we have the opportunity to act differently. We have the opportunity to just sit in that space a bit and try to be more creative, to try not to just react and run on autopilot. And that's what is translated here as faith. The term is sadha, shraddha is the way we normally use it. Shraddha, faith is a fairly duff translation of shraddha. But shraddha, you can define it in a whole bunch of ways. One of the ways that's most poetic and rather lovely is that which is ultimate in us responding to that which is ultimate in the universe. So when we're in touch with that sense that things could be different, things could be radically different, then that opens up the door to movement along the spiritual path. So that's what you could call wise faith, as it were, wise, well-founded shraddha, as opposed to nerdy shraddha, which is this kind of like, oh well, maybe the bun will make me happy after all.